Well, it was a startling revelation when it was learned that two-thirds of U.S. Catholics do not believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Now, it spurred on the USCCB to begin a three-year Eucharistic revival. The mission of the National Eucharistic Revival is to renew the Church by enkindling a living relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Now, it launched on Corpus Christi Sunday this past June, and joining me today is Father Craig Vosick. Father Vosick is a member of the National Eucharistic Preachers. They are a group of clergy commissioned to preach at events across the country in an effort to awaken a desire among the faithful to encounter Jesus in the Eucharist. Father Vosick is joining me today. Good morning, Father. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, Brenda, so good to be with you.
Father Vosick, we know the phrase that the Eucharist, it is the source and the summit of our faith. But what does that statistic tell us about our belief in the Eucharist? I mean, have Catholics just become a little apathetic about the Eucharist and the importance of Christ in our lives? Or are we not being catechized well?
Yeah, well, I don't think there's one quick answer to all of it. The fact is that in every age, we have a confrontation with faith. Even in the life of Jesus himself, there were those who received his message, and there were those who did not receive his message, or received his message in a way that was not consonant with what the message was that he was trying to share. So what we find, the stats are alarming, they're difficult, and I think the cause of them can be one of any number of things. For one person, it might be that just seems too hard to believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. For another, they might think that it simply has to be a symbol because other Christian churches say it's a symbol. And for other people, they might be experiencing pain in their life that kind of overwhelms their own desire or capacity to move in a direction of faith. So I think that there's a whole host of things that could have contributed to this quite alarming statistic.
Father Vosick, maybe we could just do a quick lesson for those who are listening today. So when we say that the Eucharist is the true presence of Christ, what does that mean? The host and the wine turns into the body and blood of Jesus, symbolically represented. Is he there both as bread and then it's also Jesus? I mean, it can be hard to define what the source and the summit is. What
right.
can you tell us?
Yeah, so I think it's important, and I don't want to do an entire lesson, but I think it's important to start at the very beginning, because if we believe that Jesus is truly present in the body and blood in the Eucharist, but we don't believe who Jesus is, then it doesn't really matter. So I think we have to kind of go all the way back, and I won't belabor the point, but Jesus declares that he is co-eternal with his Father. He is he has been sent from his Father, and he is united with his Father. And so Jesus is divine. He's not merely a man. He has a human nature, but he is not merely a man. He is co-eternal with the Father. He is God. And but even that doesn't really matter if we don't believe that there is a God, you know. So I'm not going to go all the way back with all of that, but we believe that there is a God, and we believe that one of those persons in God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, took on human nature, took on flesh and blood. And this is what we believe about Jesus. So I think even before we talk about who is present in the Eucharist, we have to understand who Jesus is. Jesus is the divine Son of the Father. And we first have to make that act of faith, because otherwise it's really irrelevant who's present, what's present, what elements are present, if it's all pretend. And it's not pretend. Jesus is truly God made man incarnate in the incarnation. So that's the first thing. But then after, once we come to believe that he is the divine Son of God, then we want to take him at his word. And I think an easy way to articulate the truth is to articulate what the not truth is, because it kind of hones us in. And Jesus at the Last Supper does not say, take this, all of you, and eat of it. This bread represents my body, or this wine represents mm-hmm. my blood. He says, this is my body. This is my blood. He doesn't even say, take this bread and eat it. This is my body. He doesn't even say this is bread anymore. He doesn't even say this is wine. He doesn't say anything about that. He says, this is my body. This is my blood. And so if we have to begin there. He says that this is his body. This is his blood. And so if we're going to start to step back from that, we have to make justifications for stepping back from that. So I think that's the first thing to say. And then we can go deeper, I think, after that into how we should understand it.
Well, going deeper, that is part of this Eucharistic revival USCCB bishops have launched, and it began this past June, and now this revival, well, its aim is to reach across every part of the United States. Father Craig Vosick is joining me today. He's part of the team that set out to preach. Well, Father, so, you know, we always say, oh, don't mention anything you'd like to do because you're going to be volunteered to do that. How did you get voluntold or asked to be a part of this commission who's traveling preaching on the Eucharist?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know.
you were not there for that meeting, huh?
I did become aware that the USCCB reached out to all the bishops of the country to promote a person that they think, a priest who they think would be good to articulate the teaching of the church, both with conviction, engagement, but also with doctrinal orthodoxy. And there was a sort of a vetting process that took place. I wasn't there for that, nor did I kind of put my name in the hat. So someone did. I don't actually know who it was, but so there's 50, just over 50 of us that gathered with some bishops of the church to go through a formation retreat so that we would all be hearing what the bishops were teaching in a way that we could have the same articulation when we go out. And so there's a document that came out from the bishops on the mystery of the Eucharist and the life of the church that focuses on the sacrifice of Christ. The sacramental presence of Christ and the communion that we experience in Christ and with the world and then are sending out. So we came together to get a common way of presenting this around the country, and that's kind of how that's unfolded. Since then, I've also been asked to sit on the executive committee for the National Eucharist Revival. There's about 20 people on that. And then further than that, I've been asked to be the sole priest delegate working at the USCCB with regard to this. So it's kind of continued to advance over time.
Well, we are grateful. Obviously, somebody answering that call from the Holy Spirit to bring you forward in this, and we are very, very grateful for that. Father Vosick is joining me today. We're talking about the National Eucharistic Revival happening here in the U.S. It's going to culminate in 2024 at the National Eucharistic Congress. Father Vosick, I've enjoyed our conversation so much, but there is a lot more I want to talk to you about, especially specifically how we are going to live this revival right here in our own archdiocese. I am coming up against a break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue in our next half hour?
Sure, I look forward to it.
Well, I am continuing now my conversation with Father Craig Vosick. Father Vosick is part of the preaching team that has been commissioned to spread across the country the revival of our faith in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Every archdiocese is invited to join in, and Father Vosick is joining me today to tell us a little bit more about his role and what we can all do to really bring ourselves closer to the Lord through the Eucharist. Father Vosick, thanks so much for staying with me this morning.
I'm very glad to be with you.
All right, Father, well, this revival has started just this past June, and it's going to go on all the way to a culmination of this national conference. So what are we supposed to do during these few years? Kind of give us an overview of what the National Eucharistic Revival is.
Sure. It's very, very exciting. So this past June, it began in Corpus Christi of June 2022. where the revival begins, and what we're calling that is the diocesan year. And so the revival, Eucharistic revival, is reaching out to leaders across the country, and that in particular reaching out to bishops, archbishops, cardinals of the church, their diocesan offices, to share with them the vision, for them to get clarity on how they might participate in that locally in their own place, so that they can build up a grassroots movement where they are. And that's very important. We are not doing some sort of top-down programmatic launch. We are doing some things from the national level, but our hope is that the Lord would inspire local places, so diocese and then down to the parish and then down to the family and down to the individual unit, right, to respond to what the Lord wants to do, which is to spread the faith of Jesus Christ and his sacramental truths to us throughout the world. So it began in June of 2022, and what we're working with is diocese and diocesan leadership to help them plot a course for themselves, one that works for them. And so there's plenty of dioceses that are doing that. They're having diocesan events. They're having regional events. They're having multi-parish events, different things like this. So we're delighted to see that happening all across the country. And in the meantime, a lot of other people are saying, well, I'm not waiting to do something. So we're seeing all sorts of apostolates, movements, and organizations and others that are really keying in already, which is really, really beautiful. But what we're focusing on from the national level is the diocesan leadership right now and starting to reach out to priests. Then beginning next June on Corpus Christi, we will launch into what we're calling the parish year. And so this is where we're hoping that every parish in the United States of America, if they can, so that's like 17,000 parishes throughout the country, that they would host all sorts of things that they find to be what the Lord is blessing them to do during that time. So it might be a parish mission. It might be some sort of Eucharistic devotion. It might be some sort of outreach to those who are disaffiliated or unaffiliated to invite them to experience the Lord at Holy Mass. It could be small group gatherings. We're going to be pushing that actually quite a bit. Small group gatherings to build up the life of faith in those local areas. So that's what we're calling the parish year. So if you haven't seen anything in your parish yet, it might be because your parish is still planning to get ready to do something in that parish year of 2023 to June of 2024. So that's the second year. And then it'll culminate, as you mentioned, in a way it'll culminate. It'll culminate in July of 2024. A national Eucharistic Congress. We're hoping 80,000 plus, 100,000 plus people come from all over the country to Indianapolis from July 17th to July 21st for an incredible manifestation of our Catholic faith and our belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist from all over the country. We used to have these quite a bit in the United States every number of years. We haven't had one for, I think it's 50 years, something like this. So it'll be the first. It'll be historic in a way that way. But we're hoping that it doesn't end there. We're hoping that we would then have congresses, every national congresses, every number of years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever it might be. So that's going to be a culminating point for the sort of organizational revival. But the hope, since it is a grassroots movement, that this would be kindling fires in local places that would actually begin at the Congress. It would be a new beginning of an outreach and a missionary sending. This is what we're calling it, a missionary sending of Eucharistic missionaries from the Congress all throughout the country to continue this work of revival, not just for a few years, but for the rest of human history in the United States of America. And we hope that this becomes a benchmark moment to send out thousands, tens of thousands of people who will kindle Eucharistic love in their local place.
Oh, Father Vasek, you've got me excited. Count me in. I will be there 2024. Father Craig Vasek is joining me today. He's part of the commission working on this National Eucharistic Revival. Well, you talked about some of the things about what the archdiocese and diocese can do, and then it's going to filter into what parishes can do. There is a great guide that is actually available for archdiocese, diocese, and parish leadership to kind of walk through that. Explain to us this Eucharistic Revival Leadership Workbook.
Yeah, so we've produced a leader's playbook for year one, which is the year of diocesan revival. And that's done, and it's been sent out to every diocese. You can find it on the Eucharistic Revival website, eucharisticrevival.org. It's a great website with lots of materials, but in there you can also download the Diocesan Playbook. It's meant to be helping dioceses and leadership to look at some of the different pillars, some of the different structures, some of the different opportunities. So that it's not a limited idea of what the revival might be. It's like the revival is not simply, hey, let's talk about the Eucharist. Well, yes, it includes that, but there's so many different ways of living a Eucharistic life. And so we've put that pen to paper with a strategy to foster help in the diocese. And so it's helpful for parishes. It's helpful for individuals to look at. We're also going to be producing another pamphlet for the parish year as well. And that'll take the diocesan year work and spread it into even more ideas for a parish life. But it's a great start for now, for sure, at eucharisticrevival.org. And you can look for the Leaders Playbook Year One.
Oh, fantastic. Hopefully our parish leaderships, again, are already preparing for that. Many questions for families can also be answered on the webpage. And Father, just lastly, these last couple of minutes here, can you maybe share with us something that, you know, just for right now, as we're waiting for these larger events to be organized and formed in our archdiocese and then in our churches, what can families do right now to begin this process to revive their belief and then share it with their children?
Yeah, absolutely. We should be doing this anyway. So yeah, don't wait for someone else to tell you to do it. That's actually been something that people have asked me, like, well, I heard that there's a revival, but then I wasn't told what I was supposed to do. And so to that question or to that point, I just point back to them and say, well, what do you want to do? What do you sense the Lord is prompting you to do? If it's going to be grassroots and it's going to be from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then each person needs to just pause and turn to the Lord and seek his Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what have you made me for during this time? What can I do right now? And the answer can't be given by me over the phone with you. The answer has to come from the Lord as he is engaging every single human heart, right? So we are offering this diocesan playbook. We have four different areas where we think people could start to look. One would be personal encounter with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, praying before the tabernacle, going to Holy Mass, participating in penance so as to arrive at the Eucharistic table in a state of grace. Okay, absolutely. Second place, reinvigorating devotion in the different ways that we can with regard to our love of Jesus. Third, to deepen our formation, so to learn what does the church teach, and then to preach that to others that we find. And then finally, a missionary sending, to go out and to bear Jesus in the world to my family, to my coworkers, to the people that I see, to anyone that I might find, and share my love of Jesus. So I think the playbook helps for people to look at, well, what are different areas that I should be praying about to see what I might do? So I would invite them to go and look at that. But then really it's to pause and just like, come Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here in my life personally, and then in my family life, and then how can I bless my parish life and my civic life? How can I bless the diocesan life? How can I bless the church and in the world by my response to what you are doing in my heart? So I'd say stop, speak to the Holy Spirit, seek him, and listen in quiet to see where he might be leading you.
Amen to that. That is Father Craig Vosick joining us today. We're talking about this 3-year Eucharistic revival. It has begun. So now is the time to start acting. Father Vosick, I've really appreciated our time today. Before we go now, could you end us in a prayer and your blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come by the powerful means of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Illumine our minds and inflame our hearts that we might respond to Jesus, that we might seek him, that we might partner with him in his mission for the life of the world. Inspire us. Give us your grace and lead us through Jesus to the Father. Through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Joseph, her most chaste spouse, may Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. And again, that is Father Craig Vosick. He is part of the USCCB's three-year Eucharistic Revival. I will be sure to add links to where you can find more information. Get right to the link that USCCB has provided. You're going to find that information and link on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.